Enough of these things is the next best voyage, as the saying is. Hast thou determined to abide with vice? And hast not experience yet induced thee to fly from this pestilence? For the destruction of the understanding is a pestilence, much more, indeed, than any such corruption and change of this atmosphere which surrounds us. For this corruption is a pestilence of animals, so far as they are animals, but the other is a pestilence of men, so far as they are men. Do not despise death, but be well content with it, since this too is one of those things which nature wills. For such as it is to be young, and to grow old, and to increase, and to reach maturity, and to have teeth and beard and gray hairs, and to beget, and to be pregnant, and to bring forth, and all the other natural operations which the seasons of thy life bring, such also is dissolution. This, then, is consistent with the character of a reflecting man, to be neither careless, nor impatient, nor contemptuous with respect to death, but to wait for it as one of the operations of nature. As thou now waitest for the time when the child shall come out of thy wife's womb, so be ready for the time when thy soul shall fall out of this envelope. But if thou requirest also a vulgar kind of comfort, which shall reach thy heart, thou wilt be made best reconciled to death by observing the objects from which thou art going to be removed, and the morals of those with whom thy soul will no longer be mingled. For it is in no way right to be offended with men, but it is thy duty to care for them, and to bear with them gently, and yet to remember that thy departure will not be from men who have the same principles as thyself. For this is the only thing, if there be any, which could draw us the contrary way, and attach us to life, to be permitted to live with those who have the same principles as ourselves. But now thou seest how great is the trouble, arising from the discordance of those who live together, so that thou mayest say, Come quick, O death, lest perchance I too should forget myself. He who does wrong against himself. He who acts unjustly to himself, because he makes himself bad. He often acts unjustly, who does not do a certain thing, not only he who does a certain thing. Thy present opinion founded on understanding, and thy present conduct directed to social good, and thy present disposition of contentment with everything which happens, that is enough. Wipe out imagination, check desire, extinguish appetite, keep the ruling faculty in its own power. Among the animals, which have not reason, one life is distributed, but among reasonable animals, one intelligent soul is distributed. Just as there is one earth of all things which are of an earthly nature, and we see by one light, and breathe one air, all of us that have the faculty of vision, and all that have life. All things which participate in anything which is common to them all, move towards that which is of the same kind with themselves. Everything which is earthy turns towards the earth. Everything which is liquid flows together, and everything which is of an aerial kind does the same, so that they require something to keep them asunder, and the application of force. Fire, indeed, moves upwards on account of the elemental fire, but it is so ready to be kindled together with all the fire which is here, that even every substance which is somewhat dry is easily ignited, because there is less mingled with it of that which is a hindrance to ignition. Accordingly, then, everything also which participates in the common intelligent nature moves in like manner towards that which is of the same kind with itself, or moves even more. For so much as it is superior in comparison with all other things, in the same degree also it is more ready to mingle with and to be fused with that which is akin to it. Accordingly, among animals devoid of reason, we find swarms of bees and herds of cattle, and the nurture of young birds, and in a manner loves, for even in animals there are souls, and that power which brings them together is seen to exert itself in a superior degree, and in such a way as never has been observed in plants, nor in stones, nor in trees. But in rational animals there are political communities and friendships, and families and meetings of people, and in wars, treaties, and armistices. But in the things which are still superior, even though they are separated from one another, unity in a manner exists, as in the stars. Thus the ascent to the higher degree is able to produce a sympathy even in things which are separated. See, then, what now takes place, for only intelligent animals have now forgotten this mutual desire and inclination, and in them alone the property of flowing together is not seen. But still, though men strive to avoid this union, they are caught and held by it, for their nature is too strong for them. And thou wilt see what I say, if thou only observest. Sooner, then, will one find anything earthy which comes in contact with no earthy thing, than a man altogether separated from other men. Both man and God and the universe produce fruit. At the proper seasons, each produces it. But, and if usage has especially fixed these terms to the vine and like things, this is nothing. Reason produces fruit both for all and for itself, and there are produced from it other things of the same kind as reason itself. If thou art able, correct by teaching those who do wrong. But if thou canst not, remember that indulgence is given to thee for this purpose. And the gods too are indulgent to such persons, and for some purposes they even help them to get health, wealth, reputation, so kind they are. And it is in thy power also, or say, who hinders thee? Labor not as one who is wretched, nor yet as one who would be pitied or admired, but direct thy will to one thing only, to put thyself in motion and to check thyself as the social reason requires. Today I have got out of all troubles, or rather, I have cast out all trouble, for it was not outside, but within, and in my opinions. All things are the same, familiar in experience, and ephemeral in time, and worthless in the matter. Everything now is just as it was in the time of those whom we have buried. Things stand outside of us, themselves by themselves, neither knowing aught of themselves, nor expressing any judgment. What is it, then, which does judge about them? The ruling faculty. Not in passivity, but in activity, lie the evil and the good of the rational social animal, just as his virtue and his vice lie not in passivity, but in activity. For the stone which has been thrown up, it is no evil to come down, nor indeed any good to have been carried up. Penetrate inwards into men's leading principles, and thou wilt see what judges thou art afraid of, and what kind of judges they are of themselves. All things are changing, and thou thyself art in continuous mutation, and in a manner in continuous destruction, and the whole universe too. It is thy duty to leave another man's wrongful act there where it is. Termination of activity, cessation from movement and opinion, and In a sense, their death is no evil. Turn thy thoughts now to the consideration of thy life. Thy life as a child, as a youth, thy manhood, thy old age. For in these also every change was a death. Is this anything to fear? Turn thy thoughts now to thy life under thy grandfather, and then to thy life under thy mother, then to thy life under thy father. And as thou findest many other differences and changes and terminations, ask thyself, is this anything to fear? In like manner, then, neither are the termination and cessation and change of thy whole life a thing to be afraid of. Hasten to examine thy own ruling faculty, and that of the universe, and that of thy neighbor, thy own, that thou mayst make it just, and that of the universe, that thou mayst remember of what thou art a part, and that of thy neighbor, that thou mayst know whether he has acted ignorantly or with knowledge, and thou mayst also consider that his ruling faculty is akin to thine. As thou thyself art a component part of a social system, so let every act of thine be a component part of social life. Whatever act of thine, then, has no reference either immediately or remotely to a social end. This tears asunder thy life and does not allow it to be one, and it is of the nature of a mutiny, just as when in a popular assembly a man acting by himself stands apart from the general agreement. Quarrels of little children and their sports, and poor spirits carrying about dead bodies, such is everything. And so what is exhibited in the representation of the mansions of the dead strikes our eyes more clearly. Examine into the quality of the form of an object, and detach it altogether from its material part, and then contemplate it. Then determine the time, the longest which a thing of this peculiar form is naturally made to endure. Thou hast endured infinite troubles through not being contented with thy ruling faculty when it does the things which it is constituted by nature to do. But enough of this. When another blames thee or hates thee, or when men say about thee anything injurious, approach thy poor souls, penetrate within, and see what kind of men they are. Thou wilt discover that there is no reason to take any trouble that these men may have this or that opinion about thee. However, thou must be well disposed towards them, for by nature they are friends. And the gods too aid them in all ways, by dreams, by signs, towards the attainment of those things on which they set a value. The periodic movements of the universe are the same, up and down from age to age. And either the universal intelligence puts itself in motion for every separate effect, and if this is so, be thou content with that which is the result of its activity, or it puts itself in motion once, and everything else comes by way of sequence. In a manner, or indivisible elements are the origin of all things. In a word, if there is a God, all is well, and if chance rules, do not thou also be governed by it. Soon earth will cover us all. Then the earth too will change. And the things also which result from change will continue to change forever, and these again forever. For if a man reflects on the changes and transformations which follow one another like wave after wave and their rapidity, he will despise everything which is perishable. The universal cause is like a winter torrent. It carries everything along with it. But how worthless are all these poor people who are engaged in matters political, and as they suppose, are playing the philosopher, all drivelers. Well, then, man, do what nature now requires. Set thyself in motion, if it is in thy power, and do not look about thee to see if anyone will observe it, nor yet expect Plato's Republic. But be content if the smallest thing goes on well, and consider such an event to be no small matter. For who can change men's opinion? And without a change of opinions, what else is there than the slavery of men who groan while they pretend to obey? Come now and tell me of Alexander and Philippus and Demetrius of Phalerum. They themselves shall judge whether they discovered what the common nature required and trained themselves accordingly. But if they acted like tragedy heroes, no one has condemned me to imitate them. Simple and modest is the work of philosophy. Draw me not aside to insolence and pride. Look down from above on the countless herds of men and their countless solemnities and the infinitely varied voyagings in storms and calms and the differences among those who are born, who live together and die, and consider, too, the life lived by others in olden time, and the life of those who will live after thee, and the life now lived among barbarous nations, and how many know not even thy name, and how many will soon forget it, and how they who perhaps now are praising thee will very soon blame thee, and that neither a posthumous name is of any value, nor reputation, nor anything else. Let there be freedom from perturbations with respect to the things which come from the external cause. And let there be justice in the things done by virtue of the internal cause. That is, let there be movement and action terminating in this in social acts, for this is according to thy nature. Thou canst remove out of the way many useless things among those which disturb thee, for they lie entirely in thy opinion, and thou wilt then gain for thyself ample space by comprehending the whole universe in thy mind, and by contemplating the eternity of time, and observing the rapid change of every several thing. How short is the time from birth to dissolution, and the illimitable time before birth, as well as the equally boundless time after dissolution. All that thou seest will quickly perish, and those who have been spectators of its dissolution will very soon perish too. And he who dies at the extremest old age will be brought into the same condition with him who died prematurely. What are these men's leading principles? And about what kind of things are they busy? And for what kind of reasons do they love and honor? Imagine that thou seest their poor souls laid bare, when they think that they do harm by their blame, or good by their praise. What an idea! Loss is nothing else than change. But the universal nature delights in change, and in obedience to her all things are now done well, and from eternity have been in like form, and will be such to time without end. What then dost thou say? That all things have been, and all things always will be bad? And that no power has ever been found in so many gods to rectify these things? But the world has been condemned to be bound in never-ceasing evil. The rottenness of the matter, which is the foundation of everything, water, dust, bones, filth, or again, marble rocks, the callosities of the earth, and gold and silver, the sediments and the garments, only bits of hair and purple dye, blood, and everything else is of the same kind, and that which is of the nature of breath is also another thing of the same kind, changing from this to that. Enough of this wretched life, and murmuring at apish tricks. Why art thou disturbed? What is there new in this? What unsettles thee? Is it the form of the thing? Look at it. Or is it the matter? Look at it. But besides these, there is nothing. Towards the gods, then, now become at last more simple and better. It is the same whether we examine these things for 100 years or 3. If a man has done wrong, the harm is his own. But perhaps he has not done wrong. Either all things proceed from one intelligent source and come together as in one body, and the part ought not to find fault with what is done for the benefit of the whole. Or there are only atoms, and nothing else than mixture and dispersion. Why, then, art thou disturbed? Say to the ruling faculty, art thou dead? Art thou corrupted? Art thou playing the hypocrite? Art thou become a beast? Dost thou herd and feed with the rest? Either the gods have no power, or they have power. If, then, they have no power, why dost thou pray to them? But if they have power, why dost thou not pray for them to give thee the faculty of not fearing any of the things which thou fearest, or of not desiring any of the things which thou desirest, or not being pained at anything, rather than pray that any of these things should not happen, or happen? For certainly, if they can cooperate with men, they can cooperate for these purposes. But perhaps thou wilt say the gods have placed them in thy power. Well then, is it not better to use what is in thy power like a free man, than to desire, in a slavish and abject way, what is not in thy power? And who has told thee that the gods do not aid us, even in the things which are in our power? Begin, then, to pray for such things, and thou wilt see. One man prays thus, how shall I be able to lie with that woman? Do thou pray thus, how shall I not desire to lie with her? Another prays thus, how shall I be released from this? Pray thou, how shall I not desire to be released? Another thus, how shall I not lose my little son? Thou thus, how shall I not be afraid to lose him? In fine, turn thy prayers this way, and see what comes. Epicurus says, in my sickness, my conversation was not about my bodily sufferings. Nor, says he, did I talk on such subjects to those who visited me, but I continued to discourse on the nature of things as before, keeping to this main point, how the mind, while participating in such movements as go on in the poor flesh, shall be free from perturbations and maintain its proper good. Nor did I, he says, give the physicians an opportunity of putting on solemn looks, as if they were doing something great. But my life went on well and happily. Do then the same that he did both in sickness, if thou art sick, and in any other circumstances, for never to desert philosophy in any events that may befall us, nor to hold trifling talks either with an ignorant man or with one unacquainted with nature, is a principle of all schools of philosophy, but to be intent only on that which thou art now doing, and on the instrument by which thou doest it. When thou art offended with any man's shameless conduct, immediately ask thyself, is it possible, then, that shameless men should not be in the world? Is it not possible? Do not, then, require what is impossible. For this man also is one of those shameless men who must of necessity be in the world. Let the same considerations be present to thy mind in the case of the knave and the faithless man, and of every man who does wrong in any way. For at the same time that thou dost remind thyself that it is impossible that such kind of men should not exist. Thou wilt become more kindly disposed towards everyone individually. It is useful to perceive this, too, immediately when the occasion arises, what virtue nature has given to man to oppose every wrongful act. For she has given to man, as an antidote against the stupid man, mildness, and against another kind of man, some other power. And in all cases it is possible for thee to correct by teaching the man who has gone astray. For every man who errs misses his object and is gone astray. Besides, wherein hast thou been injured? For thou wilt find that no one among those against whom thou art irritated has done anything by which thy mind could be made worse, but that which is evil to thee and harmful has its foundation only in the mind. And what harm is done, or what is there strange, if the man who has not been instructed does the acts of an uninstructed man? Consider whether thou shouldst not rather blame thyself, because thou didst not expect such a man to err in such a way. For thou hadst means given thee by thy reason to suppose that it was likely that he would commit this error, and yet thou hast forgotten and art amazed that he has erred. But most of all, when thou blamest a man as faithless or ungrateful, turn to thyself. For the fault is manifestly thy own. Whether thou didst trust that a man who had such a disposition would keep his promise, or when conferring thy kindness, thou didst not confer it absolutely, nor yet in such a way as to have received from thy very act all the profit. For what more dost thou want when thou hast done a man a service? Art thou not content that thou hast done something conformable to thy nature, and dost thou seek to be paid for it? Just as if the eye demanded a recompense for seeing, or the feet for walking. For as these members are formed for a particular purpose, and by working according to their several constitutions obtain what is their own, so also as man is formed by nature to acts of benevolence, when he has done anything benevolent, or in any other way conducive to the common interest, he has acted conformably to his constitution, and he gets what is his own. Book 10. Wilt thou then, my soul, never be good and simple and one and naked, more manifest than the body which surrounds thee? Wilt thou never enjoy an affectionate and contented disposition? Wilt thou never be full and without a want of any kind, longing for nothing more, nor desiring anything, either animate or inanimate, for the enjoyment of pleasures? Nor yet desiring time, wherein thou shalt have longer enjoyment, or place, or pleasant climate, or society of men with whom thou mayst live in harmony. But wilt thou be satisfied with thy present condition, and pleased with all that is about thee? And wilt thou convince thyself that thou hast everything, and that it comes from the gods, that everything is well for thee, and will be well, whatever shall please them, and whatever they shall give for the conservation of the perfect living being, the good and just and beautiful, which generates and holds together all things, and contains and embraces all things, which are dissolved for the production of other like things. Wilt thou never be such that thou shalt so dwell in community with gods and men, as neither to find fault with them at all, nor to be condemned by them? Observe what thy nature requires, so far as thou art governed by nature only. Then do it and accept it, if thy nature, so far as thou art a living being, shall not be made worse by it. And next, thou must observe what thy nature requires, so far as thou art a living being. And all this thou mayst allow thyself, if thy nature, so far as thou art a rational animal, shall not be made worse by it. But the rational animal is consequently also a political or social animal. Use these rules, then, and trouble thyself about nothing else. Everything which happens either happens in such wise as thou art formed by nature to bear it, or as thou art not formed by nature to bear it. If, then, it happens to thee in such a way as thou art formed by nature to bear it, do not complain, but bear it as thou art formed by nature to bear it. But if it happens in such wise as thou art not formed by nature to bear it, do not complain, for it will perish after it has consumed thee. Remember, however, that thou art formed by nature to bear everything, with respect to which it depends on thy own opinion, to make it endurable and tolerable, by thinking that it is either thy interest or thy duty to do this. If a man is mistaken, instruct him kindly, and show him his error. But if thou art not able, blame thyself, or blame not even thyself. Whatever may happen to thee, it was prepared for thee from all eternity, and the implication of causes was, from eternity, spinning the thread of thy being, and of that which is incident to it. Whether the universe is a concourse of atoms or nature is a system, let this first be established, that I am a part of the whole which is governed by nature. Next, I am in a manner intimately related to the parts, which are of the same kind with myself. For remembering this, inasmuch as I am a part, I shall be discontented with none of the things which are assigned to me out of the whole. For nothing is injurious to the part if it is for the advantage of the whole. For the whole contains nothing which is not for its advantage, and all natures indeed have this common principle. But the nature of the universe has this principle besides, that it cannot be compelled, even by any external cause, to generate anything harmful to itself. By remembering, then, that I am a part of such a whole, that I shall be content with everything that happens. And inasmuch as I am in a manner intimately related to the parts, which are of the same kind with myself, I shall do nothing unsocial, but I shall rather direct myself to the things which are of the same kind with myself, and I shall turn all my efforts to the common interest, and divert them from the contrary. Now if these things are done so, life must flow on happily, just as thou mayst observe that the life of a citizen is happy, who continues a course of action which is advantageous to his fellow citizens, and is content with whatever the state may assign to him. The parts of the whole, everything, I mean, which is naturally comprehended in the universe, must of necessity perish. But let this be understood in this sense, that they must undergo change. But if this is naturally both an evil and a necessity for the parts, the whole would not continue to exist in a good condition, the parts being subject to change, and constituted so as to perish in various ways. For whether did nature herself design to do evil to the things which are parts of herself, and to make them subject to evil, and of necessity fall into evil, or have such results happened without her knowing it? Both these suppositions, indeed, are credible. But if a man should even drop the term nature as an efficient power, and should speak of these things as natural, even then it would be ridiculous to affirm at the same time that the parts of the whole are in their nature subject to change, and at the same time to be surprised or vexed as if something were happening contrary to nature, particularly as the dissolution of things is into those things of which each thing is composed. For there is either a dispersion of the elements out of which everything has been compounded, or a change from the solid to the earthy, and from the airy to the aerial, so that these parts are taken back into the universal reason, whether this at certain periods is consumed by fire or renewed by eternal changes. And do not imagine that the solid and airy part belong to thee from the time of generation, for all this received its accretion only yesterday and the day before, as one may say, from the food and the air which is inspired. This, then, which has received the accretion, changes, not at which thy mother brought forth. But suppose that this, which thy mother brought forth, implicates thee very much with that other part, which has the peculiar quality of change. This is nothing, in fact, in the way of objection to what is said. When thou hast assumed these names, good, modest, true, rational, a man of equanimity and magnanimous, take care that thou dost not change these names, and if thou shouldst lose them, quickly return to them. And remember that the term rational was intended to signify a discriminating attention to every several thing, and freedom from negligence, and that equanimity is the voluntary acceptance of the things which are assigned to thee by the common nature, and that magnanimity is the elevation of the intelligent part above the pleasurable or painful sensations of the flesh, and above that poor thing called fame and death and all such things. If, then, thou maintainest thyself in the possession of these names, without desiring to be called by these names by others, thou wilt be another person, and wilt enter on another life. For to continue to be such as thou hast hitherto been, and to be torn in pieces and defiled in such a life, is the character of a very stupid man, and one overfond of his life. And like those half-devoured fighters with wild beasts, who, though covered with wounds and gore, still entreat to be kept to the following day, though they will be exposed, in the same state, to the same claws and bites. Therefore, fix thyself in the possession of these few names, and, if thou art able to abide in them, abide as if thou wast removed to certain islands of the happy. But if thou shalt perceive that thou fallest out of them, and thou dost not maintain thy hold, go courageously into some nook where thou shalt maintain them, or even depart at once from life, not in passion, but with simplicity and freedom and modesty, after doing this one laudable thing, at least in thy life, to have gone out of it thus. In order, however, to the remembrance of these names, it will greatly help thee if thou rememberest the gods, and that they wish not to be flattered, but wish all reasonable beings to be made like themselves, and if thou rememberest that what does the work of a fig tree is a fig tree, and that what does the work of a dog is a dog, and that what the work of a bee is a bee, and that which does the work of a man is a man. War, astonishment, torpor, slavery, will daily wipe out those holy principles of thine. How many things without studying nature dost thou imagine, and how many dost thou neglect? But it is thy duty so to look on, and so to do everything, that at the same time the power of dealing with circumstances is perfected, and the contemplative faculty is exercised, and the confidence which comes from the knowledge of each several thing is maintained without showing it, but yet not concealed. For when thou wilt enjoy simplicity, when gravity, and when the knowledge of every several thing, both of what it is in substance and what place it has in the universe, and how long it is formed to exist, and of what things it is compounded, and to whom it can belong, and who are able both to give it and take it away. A spider is proud when it has caught a fly, and another when he has caught a poor hare, and another when he has taken a little fish in a net, and another when he has taken wild boars, and another when he has taken bears, and another when he has taken Sarmatians. Are not these robbers, if thou examinest their opinions? Acquire the contemplative way of seeing how all things change into one another, and constantly attend to it, and exercise thyself about this part of philosophy. For nothing is so much adapted to produce magnanimity. Such a man has put off the body, and as he sees that he must, no one knows how soon, go away from among men and leave everything here. He gives himself up entirely to just doing in all his actions, and in everything else that happens he resigns himself to the universal nature. But as to what any man shall say or think about him or do against him, he never even thinks of it, being himself contented with these two things, with acting justly in what he now does, and being satisfied with what is now assigned to him, and he lays aside all distracting and busy pursuits, and desires nothing else than to accomplish the straight course through the law, and by accomplishing the straight course to follow God. What need is there of suspicious fear, since it is in thy power to inquire what ought to be done? And if thou seest clear, go by this way content, without turning back. But if thou dost not see clear, stop, and take the best advisers. But if any other things oppose thee, go on according to thy powers with due consideration, keeping to that which appears to be just. For it is best to reach this object. And if thou dost fail, let thy failure be in attempting this. He who follows reason in all things is both tranquil and active at the same time, and also cheerful and collected. Inquire of thyself as soon as thou wakest from sleep, whether it will make any difference to thee, if another does what is just and right. It will make no difference. Thou hast not forgotten, I suppose, that those who assume arrogant airs in bestowing their praise or blame on others are such as they are at bed and at board. And thou hast not forgotten what they do, and what they avoid, and what they pursue, and how they steal, and how they rob, not with hands and feet, but with their most valuable part, by means of which there is produced, when a man chooses fidelity, modesty, truth, law, a good demon of happiness. To her who gives and takes back all, to nature, the man who is instructed and modest says, "Give what thou wilt, take back what thou wilt." And he says this not proudly, but obediently and well pleased with her. Short is the little which remains to thee of life. Live as on a mountain, for it makes no difference whether a man lives there or here, if he lives everywhere in the world as an estate, a political community. Let me see. Let them know a real man who lives according to nature. If they cannot endure him, let them kill him, for that is better than to live thus, as men do. No longer talk at all about the kind of man that a good man ought to be, but be such. Constantly contemplate the whole of time and the whole of substance, and consider that all individual things, as to substance, are a grain of a fig, and as to time, the turning of a gimlet. look at everything that exists, and observe that it is already in dissolution and in change, and, as it were, putrefaction or dispersion, or that everything is so constituted by nature as to die. Consider what men are when they are eating, sleeping, generating, easing themselves, and so forth. Then what kind of men they are when they are imperious and arrogant, or angry and scolding from their elevated place. But a short time ago, to how many they were slaves, and for what things, and after a little time, consider in what a condition they will be. That is for the good of each thing, which the universal nature brings to each, and it is for its good at the time when nature brings it. The earth loves the shower, and the solemn ether loves, and the universe loves to make whatever is about to be. I say then to the universe that I love as thou lovest. And is not this too said, that this or that loves is wont to be produced? Either thou livest here, and hast already accustomed thyself to it, or thou art is going away, and this was thy own will, or thou art dying, and hast discharged thy duty. But besides these things, there is nothing. Be of good cheer, then. Let this always be plain to thee, that this piece of land is like any other, and that all things here are the same with things on the top of a mountain, or on the seashore, or wherever thou choosest to be. For thou wilt find just what Plato says, dwelling within the walls of a city, as in a shepherd's fold on a mountain. What is my ruling faculty now to me? And of what nature am I now making it? For what purpose am I now using it? Is it void of understanding? Is it loosed and rent asunder from social life? Is it melted into and mixed with the poor flesh, so as to move together with it? He who flies from his master is a runaway, but the law is master, and he who breaks the law is a runaway. And he also who is grieved or angry or afraid is dissatisfied because something has been, or is or shall be, of the things which are appointed by him who rules all things. And he is law, and assigns to every man what is fit. He then who fears, or is grieved, or is angry, is a runaway. A man deposits seed in a womb, and goes away. And then another cause takes it, and labors on it, and makes a child. What a thing from such a material! Again, the child passes food down through the throat, and then another cause takes it and makes perception and motion, and in fine, life and strength and other things. How many and how strange! Observe then the things which are produced in such a hidden way, and see the power, just as we see the power which carries things downwards and upwards, not with the eyes, but still no less plainly. Constantly consider how all things, such as they now are, in time past also were, and consider that they will be the same again, and place before thy eyes entire dramas and stages of the same form, whatever thou hast learned from thy experience or from older history. For example, the whole court of Hadrianus, and the whole court of Antoninus, and the whole court of Philippus, Alexander, Croesus. For all those were such dramas as we see now, only with different actors. Imagine every man who is grieved at anything or discontented to be like a pig which is sacrificed and kicks and screams. Like this pig also is he who on his bed in silence laments the bonds in which we are held. and consider that only to the rational animal is it given to follow voluntarily what happens, but simply to follow is a necessity imposed on all. Severally, on the occasion of everything that thou dost, pause and ask thyself if death is a dreadful thing because it deprives thee of this. When thou art offended at any man's fault, forthwith turn to thyself and reflect in what like manner thou dost err thyself. For example, in thinking that money is a good thing, or pleasure, or a bit of reputation, and the like. For by attending to this, thou wilt quickly forget thy anger, if this consideration also is added, that the man is compelled. For what else could he do? Or, if thou art able, take away from him the compulsion. When thou hast seen Satyron, the Socratic, think of either Eutyches or Hymen, and when thou hast seen Euphrates, think of Eutychion or Silvanus, and when thou hast seen Alciphron, think of Tropeophorus, and when thou hast seen Xenophon, think of Crito or Severus, and when thou hast looked on thyself, think of any other Caesar, and in the case of every one, do in like manner. Then let this thought be in thy mind. Where then are those men? Nowhere, or nobody knows where. For thus, continuously, thou wilt look at human things as smoke, and nothing at all, especially if thou reflectest at the same time that what has once changed will never exist again in the infinite duration of time, but thou in what a brief space of time is thy existence. And why art thou not content to pass through this short time in an orderly way? What matter and opportunity for thy activity art thou avoiding? For what else are all these things except exercises for the reason? When it is viewed carefully, and by examination into their nature, the things which happen in life, persevere then, until thou shalt have made these things thy own, as the stomach, which is strengthened, makes all things its own, as the blazing fire makes flame and brightness out of everything that is thrown into it. Let it not be in any man's power to say truly of thee that thou art not simple, or that thou art not good, but let him be a liar, whoever shall think anything of this kind about thee. And this is altogether in thy power. For who is he that shall hinder thee from being good and simple? Do thou only determine to live no longer, unless thou shalt be such? For neither does reason allow thee to live, if thou art not such. What is that which, as to this material, our life, can be done, or said, in the way most conformable to reason? For whatever this may be, it is in thy power to do it or to say it, and do not make excuses that thou art hindered. Thou wilt not cease to lament till thy mind is in such a condition that what luxury is to those who enjoy pleasure, such shall be to thee in the matter which is subjected and presented to thee, the doing of the things which are conformable to man's constitution. For a man ought to consider as an enjoyment everything which is in his power to do according to his own nature, and it is in his power everywhere. Now it is not given to a cylinder to move everywhere by its own motion, nor yet to water, nor to fire, nor anything else which is governed by nature or an irrational soul, for the things which check them and stand in the way are many. But intelligence and reason are able to go through everything that opposes them, and in such manner as they are formed by nature, and as they choose. Place before thy eyes this facility with which the reason will be carried through all things, as fire upwards, as a stone downwards, as a cylinder down an inclined surface, and seek for nothing further. For all other obstacles either affect the body only, which is a dead thing, or, except through opinion, and the yielding of the reason itself, they do not crush, nor do any harm of any kind. For if they did, he who felt it would immediately become bad. Now in the case of all things which have a certain constitution, whatever harm may happen to any of them, that which is so affected becomes consequently worse. But in the like case, a man becomes both better, if one may say so, and more worthy of praise by making a right use of these accidents. And finally, remember that nothing harms him who is really a citizen, which does not harm the state, nor yet does anything harm the state, which does not harm law, order, and of these things which are called misfortunes, not one harms law. What then does not harm law, does not harm either state or citizen? To him who is penetrated by true principles, even the briefest precept is sufficient, and any common precept, to remind him that he should be free from grief and fear. For example, leave